You are a cold and dead man inside. Welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the interwebs is a man that I am very irritated with, and I don't know if I can even do a show with him today. Joe, Crazy Writer, the Abandoner.
Yes. And
how you doing, Joe?
I feel like terrible. I'm just... Hit the sad news, Corey. I've got sad news.
Oh, no. Sad news, everyone. I was going to have sad news later, but you're just jumping right in.
Yeah. I went down to New Orleans, as you know.
Which is why I'm mad at you.
They sent me twice, once to help out with the Super Bowl. Because what happens is it's what they call a Cat 1 airport. And they were expecting way more people in than they could possibly have the capacity to get out on a timely manner. So they brought a bunch of us in, worked ridiculous shifts, 10 hours one day, 12 hours the next, 10 hours, and then sent me home for 4 days. I didn't see nothing of the Super Bowl. And then they sent me back to New Orleans to help cover with the Mardi Gras.
Although, I still think that you caused the blackout at the Super Bowl.
I discovered the plug. I just didn't know why it was unplugged. But somebody, you know, I said, hey, is this supposed to be plugged in? But
I still think it was more like an airplane. The guy who, you know, the plane's about to land and all the lights on the field go out. And they cut to him, and he goes, just kidding, and plugs it back in.
You know, the funny thing is, the people in New Orleans
like
are
that,
really, really embarrassed about that. And
well, they damn well should be.
Well,
what if that were to happen at WrestleMania?
Who cares? It's already happened at a WrestleMania, or at least one of
the favorites. Yeah, and I didn't like it.
But I tell them, for 90% of America, we just shrug our shoulders. It's like, well, whatever, it happened. So I think the embarrassment's more local than it is national. But I did go back the second time. I had maybe 6 days of work. And I did not get to visit one comic store down there.
I'll be honest, when I went to New Orleans, both times I didn't go near a comic store.
Well,
there's too much to do.
It was like five, but the problem is I was at an airport. The first time we went down, we were at a place 40 miles away because they could not find hotels for us. So it was like every morning we had like an hour and a half drive. It was usually like 1 a.m. to 3:30 or so. And although there had been a comic store in this town, it had long since closed. I can't remember the name of the town. I'd have to look it up. The second time, we were at the Hilton right across from the airport, which is what I think the nearest comic store would have been like 5 miles away. And being that I don't know New Orleans that much, it wasn't like I was going to walk about. Although we did eventually figure out the bus rides, and we did figure out if you have three people in a cab, they charge you $14 as opposed to, I think their maximum is $22 or $33 or whatever. So if you can get three people in a cab, it's $14 a piece. So that actually helped us out quite a bit getting back and forth. And like you said, I had a choice. Comic shops or Mardi Gras, baby. And I did Mardi Gras. Check this out. Look at these beads. Beads, buddy. I got tons of them.
And I don't, I'm pretty sure I know why.
And why is that?
You were showing your chest to everybody who asked, weren't you?
Negative. Although, I did show to some queens. I want you to stop and see how I worded that.
I know.
I did show queens. I did the full Monty for queens. They basically tossed me some beads, and I showed off my chest, and they said, no, we want to see more. And I said, but it's small. Small. SML. We don't care. All right.
So you're saying you're hung like a hamster.
So I flipped my beads over, I ripped my shirt down, I pulled it, I showed them my shame. And I got myself a pair of long beads.
What, was it worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be on the next Cray Gone Wild DVD?
Only the extended version. So it's like when I got home, my daughter's like, oh, beads, can I have this long green one? No. That's daddy's.
And you don't want to know the horrors I had to go through to get it.
That was probably the wildest we got. No, it was fun. I mean, because I was working the AM shift, I was not able to do the stay for the real craziness. And of course, there's a lot more to Mardi Gras than just Bourbon Street. But, you know, that was pretty much what we hit. And then we went back the next day, or actually I should say the next day we just slept.
Joe, can you explain to the people and me what the hell an M shift is? Because M shift.
AM.
Oh, AM.
Yeah.
You must have cut out because it just sounded like the M shift.
No.
And I know the government likes
labeling. Well, it could be M shift. It could be, my God, why am I up so early? So Wednesday, pretty much everybody slept. A few people went down. And then Thursday, our last night, a group of us went down. And we lucked out. We found a place that had knickknacks and stuff for half price. So I was able to pick up some things like a little Bourbon Street pin. I didn't pick up any masks. I did buy my wife some of that, what do they call it, chicory coffee.
Oh, yes.
Which she absolutely loves. She made a pot of it this morning. And she basically chopped ice within a block of our house everywhere. She came back, cleaned the house, did the laundry, ripped off my sheets, violated me, and then ran out. And right now she's showing some Irish or Italian people the city of St. Paul.
Now, when she did this, did she give you beads?
No, but I did offer to give her more. She says, beads? We don't need no beads.
See, I love New Orleans. I've been to New Orleans twice, and I just love the place.
Yeah, it was
except my favorite club no longer exists, hear. The Shim Sham Club.
I'm looking up a picture here. We took a picture of where we ended up. And if I can find it here. Oops, that's not it. The last day we were there, one of the guys decided he wanted crawfish. So we kind of toured around looking for crawfish. The bar we ended up with was called the Lafette's Blacksmith Shop Bar. It's supposed to be the oldest bar in New Orleans. And when we were there on Mardi Gras, it was crazy, filled, beer was flying, people were dancing, having fun. We went there Thursday night. It was just kind of laid back because it's way, way on the far end, almost in the residential part. And it was just kind of laid back. People were just drinking, one guy playing a sad piano. We're like, boy, this is a little different. Let's go back where the action is. So we ended up at Acme Seafood Place and had jambalaya, gumbo, crawfish, catfish, red rice and beans, or red beans and rice. I mean, I basically a New Orleans platter. And I tell you, that gumbo was awesome. Just nice and spicy. And just, if I had known that, I'd just gotten a big thing of it. One of the guys ordered like a pound of crawfish and he gets it and he's kind of wrestling with it. We're like, he doesn't know how to do it. And it's like, well, no, you rip the tail off, suck the head, and eat the tail. Yes, that's as dirty as it sounds. Suck head, eat tail. And he couldn't figure it out, so we asked.
Are we going to have to mark this as for mature audiences only?
Hey, it's Mardi Gras, baby. And then We asked the busboy, he said, how to do it. He goes, here, let me grab. He grabbed one. Do you mind? Ripped the head. You know, suck the, what it is in the head is where all the juices are because they boil these things and all the spices. So you suck the juice out and you twist the skin off the tail. You get the little piece of meat in the tail and you pop it in your mouth and that's how you eat it. So he kind of showed us how to do it. And then the waitress is like, what are you doing? I say, oh, he said, no, he's showing us how to do this. So, and you understand you don't get a lot of meat in the tail, which is why, you know, about 3 to 5 pounds is probably enough for a decent meal. Oysters. I had oysters too. So, a lot of first times, you know, I told Chris, I said, we got to get down there, maybe, you know, catch some of the parade. A lot of other things in town. Like I said, there's at least 5 comic stores, World War II museums. You could get tours out into the bayou, the swamp area. You know, just a fascinating, fascinating place. You know, just a little bit of glimpse. I mean, whereas Vegas, I'd probably never return. And New York, I'd go back to New York just because, like I said, I never made it to Central Park. But New Orleans, I definitely need to get back there. So no comic stories to report. I can tell you about my tales on the way down.
Well, first off, this show has sponsors.
And none of them.
And a way for you to get a hold of us. And here's all that information on a nice little recorded thing so that we don't have to repeat ourselves.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. My name is Comic Book Jockey, and I'm with a website called Broken Brush Entertainment, or BBE for short. And we are podcasters, we're video game journalists, we're video producers, we're a community of people. And we put all this stuff out there on our site for you to listen to and you guys to like. You can go to brokenbrushentertainment.com, and actually, you can go to bbe.me.uk. Shorter for those of you that don't like to type a lot. And we have all sorts of stuff to offer on there. One of the big things that we have to offer on there on the front page is a video about our Indiegogo campaign that's called The Road to C2E2. What that means to you is we are raising money to make a documentary about C2E2. C2E2 is the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, and it happens once a year in Chicago, Illinois. It's the Midwest San Diego Comic-Con, for those of you that may have never heard of it. It's a very big deal. It's a very awesome event. Last year, there were more than 50,000 people that went through it. And there's a lot of big names there. There's a lot of companies there. There's DC, there's Marvel. There's even some. There's even video game companies. There's promotion for movies that are coming out. It's a giant pop culture convention. And we do pop culture. And that's what our podcasts and our videos and our articles are about on our website. So take a minute. Go to bbe.me.uk and look at our website. Check out what we do and what we have to offer you guys. You can also go to iTunes and search for our podcasts, which are Four Eyed Focus, In the Basement, and Nina's Arena. So be sure to download those, subscribe to them, rate them, review them. You know, every rating and review helps us out. It'll bring us up on those iTunes charts so more people can see what we're all about. And please be sure to go to Indiegogo.com and go to the campaign, The Road to C2E2. And you will see our video and you'll see what we're all about. You can see that there's the backer rewards we have to offer. Any dollar amount is going to help us, guys. We really appreciate it. It's going to help us make something to give back to you guys. Maybe you can't make it to that convention, or maybe you want to know what it's all about and you don't live in this Chicagoland area. Well, this way, you can see what it's all about by a professionally done, really great documentary. I have an entire team that's going to be there to make this, and we want to make it as great as we can for our listeners and our site viewers, and it's just us and you, everybody. We are a community project, and we want everybody to help us out. So check it out, bbe.me.uk is our website. You can go to Indiegogo.com and go look for The Road to C2E2. You guys can see what we want to accomplish. And just thanks again for taking the time to listen. And please, again, check our site. Donate. We would appreciate anything that you guys do. Thanks.
Crazy Comics and Stories is looking for feedback from you. That's right, you, the person listening right now, our beloved listeners. You can contact us via email at corey.strode@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is Crazy Comics and Stuff, because somehow Joe doesn't know that the name of the show is Crazy Comics and Stories. And you can actually leave us a voice message at our voice message line. And that number is 952-856-0519. If you leave a message, we will play it on the air unless you tell us not to. If you tell us not to, well, we won't play it on the air. But we'll listen to it ourselves and giggle. If you want to let people know about the show, there are all sorts of ways you can help. You can tell your friends and other people you know who might like us. If you don't like the show, you can tell people you don't like us. It's a real mean thing to do. You could give us a review on iTunes. Somehow that moves us up in the rankings. We don't understand how. It just does. And if you have a podcast, you can tell people about us. Then if you tell us you did it, we'll tell people about your podcast. We might even listen to it. If you'd like to sponsor the show or a segment of the show, you can do that. We'd be damn happy to help with that. Just contact us at corey.strode@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. So there you go, Joe.
Do that so I can't mess you up.
Well, that's part of it, too.
Hmm. All right.
But we're trying to be more professional. Come on. We're like three episodes away from episode 100. We ought to at least be a little professional by now, don't you think?
Episode 100. You sent me a theme list, and of course, I actually read it.
What we're going to do for episode 100, the biggest episode ever, we're going to have special guests. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the musicians here. We're going to have marriages, births. All sorts of, it'll be the greatest 100th episode of anything ever.
I might not be around for it.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. There might not be room for us. It is so jam-packed with stuff. There won't be room for your Uncle Rat Bastard and Cray.
Yeah, yeah. And that would be a freak on. That would be so depressing. Speaking of depressing, how are your podcasts going? How many have you banged out so far?
God. The second one came out last week. It was the first in the series that will... First of the Kirby podcast. It goes from his birth to 1943.
Oh, the little video game guy who bounces around, eats little bubbles and stuff.
I may have to smack you.
Yeah, that definitely deserves a smack. I'll do it myself. Ooh, Corey, hey now.
Hey, I wouldn't smack you like that. It'd make your wife jealous.
That's true. She'd say, that's the way you want to roll. Good, I have a night off.
And there will probably be another episode up right after this one goes up.
Cool.
So we're rolling along with the solo podcast. I'm a little more experimental with it.
Corey's in a room. All right, tonight we're going to try these. Oh, yeah, let's do some potting, baby.
Hi, this is Corey in my all-helium podcast.
There you go. All-helium podcast. I doubt anybody's done that yet. Maybe we'll do that for episode 100.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get all hopped up on goofballs.
Goofballs. Well, I got nothing to report on my project to try to get my comics in order because, like I said, I've been pretty much gone the last 2 weeks. The only thing really comic related.
That 3 weeks?
Is.
You abandoned us 3 weeks ago.
No, it's weird. I actually had a job, and the problem was there's two things, and this can go under freaking if you want. My laptop screen is pretty much gone. It's turned into cracks. Black patches, and when I got it off the plane, because I had to drive one of them dumb little regional jets, where even if you got small carry-on, you still got to put it on the plane. Well, the pressurizing the plane just causes the cracks in the screen to bleed. So now I've got like these little concentric circles, like six of them, that are blotting out 90% of my screen. So the only way I can use my computer is actually hook it into a high-definition monitor. The computer itself is fine. It's just... I can't see nothing on the monitor no more.
Now, I believe you can buy a new monitor for a laptop.
For about $500.
Oh.
Problem is,
because I was going to say, you take it to the Geek Squad at the Best Buy, they'll screw it up.
Yeah.
And then you take it back and complain, and you get the screen for free.
See, that was the thing I've already checked. Because when I bought this, I ended up going with a high-definition screen because I had a Blu-ray in it. And I think I've already...
Which doesn't work either.
I've already talked about that. So for me to go get the Blu-ray or just the high-definition screen, it's minimum anywhere $400 to $500. I only paid $800 for the whole thing. So I'm like, you know what? I've got this $99 monitor right next to me. I just plug it in, and the computer's fine. And since I think I may be done with going out on the road, I think I'm just set up, you know? So now I'll be able to look up all sorts of things. Like when you go to the Midwest Comic Book Association's page, you'll find out that their Spring Con Comic Book Carnival.
It's not a comic book celebration anymore. It's a carnival.
It's made.
Now, Joe, does that mean they're going to be carnies there?
It could be.
They're going to be homeless drifters, missing teeth.
The Minnesota State Fairgrounds. It'll be
selling meth.
Grandstand, and it will be. No, you don't sell meth in the fairgrounds. Trust me. You think the mafia is tough? Just you got to see the people in charge of the fairgrounds. Yeah, you get a better deal dealing with the mafia. I'm telling you. But they are fair because they are letting the spring con come. May 18th and 19th, 2013. It'll be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Nothing's been put up yet, but keep an eye on their Facebook page and their MidwestComicBook.com site. And I know they're working to get some guests lined up, get things all the ducks in a row before they start.
There'll be ducks there?
It could be. They got plenty of waterfowl there. Before that, of course, down in Rochester, Minnesota, will be Fable Town and Beyond, an epic convention celebrating mythic comic books. March.
Not to be 22nd. Confused with the Broadway musical Urinetown.
Nope. That would really bum you out. March 22nd to 24th, Rochester, Minnesota. Again, www.fablescon.com. Get your tickets, your hotel. For us, it's only an hour away. Who knows? Maybe if Corey's off, we'll go, and I'm home, we'll go take a trek down there.
A trek?
Yeah. Fable trek. When we were in college, we used to go to Rochester all the time because nobody down there would collect Transformers and stuff. So we go down there, we hit Toys R Us, Targets, Walmarts. Boy, I wish I still had some of those things. I could retire. Pay someone to get my comics in order. But as it is, I got to do it myself. And of course.
Now with this comic convention in May, if you are within the sound of our voice, which means you are a resident of planet Earth, you have no excuse not to go.
Nope.
It's, you have more than enough time. It's February now. If you were to get in a car and start driving, you can make it under the ocean and to Minneapolis by then.
You know, it was great when I was in New Orleans. I was 2 blocks from my house is Highway 61. And I've taken it all the way north to Duluth where it ends, and now I was all the way at the end where it ends in New Orleans. So just go to the middle of the country, find Highway 61, come north. When you get to St. Paul, we'll get you to the con. Piece of cake.
Yeah.
We've been pimping this thing since before the last con. And I should even be there this year. Corey and I will be running the charity rummage sale / art booth, and stop by, say hi. I know everybody says hi to Corey. It's hard not to miss him. He is the self-avowed best-dressed man in comics.
I didn't give me that name, you know.
I would be more impressed if you did, like, who's it, Tom Noyan, and have, like, a hot model behind you.
Well, I had a hot model last time.
Yeah, but I would.
We had that cardboard stand-up of Deanna Troi. She's hot.
Paralyzed. I wish, and she's not bad-looking now. I remember I saw her at the Star Trek con.
If any hot women want to come to the con and work the charity table with me, I won't say no.
You know, I will talk to Nick, and I'll see if we can't maybe get some, like maybe free admission to the con if somebody wants to join us. So, that type of stuff.
And I might even buy him dinner.
And Corey might even wear pants.
Well, I have to. You know, because pants are part of being the best dressed man.
I thought you were going to go for the kilt again.
Well, no, no one wants to see that.
That's true. Boy, we really did nothing. All right.
What do you mean we really did nothing? We've spent 20 minutes on this here podcast, and everyone now knows why you abandoned us.
Yep, yep.
Why I'm annoyed with you.
I paid for it, too.
There's a convention coming.
On the way down, okay, which should... Well, first of all, what sucks about government travel is they're cheap. They're always trying to find the cheapest way. They flew me to Orlando. No, let me say that back. I forget. It's ORD. That's Chicago O'Hara down to New Orleans.
Me, O'Hara?
A friend of mine... They flew from Chicago to Minneapolis down to New Orleans. The only reason why is because if you do one connecting flight, you cut your costs significantly. But it was utterly, utterly stupid. So I got to the airport. The first thing that happened is I noticed my plane's leaving an hour late. I only have a half hour connection. So the reason why it's late is because if you remember last weekend, probably two by the time this podcast get posted, the East Coast was blanketed with snow. Well, that crew came in an hour late, and they have a certain amount of time. The FAA makes them rest. Therefore, since they were an hour late, their next flight would be an hour late, so they could have that rest. So instead of a nice 6 a.m. flight,
make it so I had
4 a.m. to get to, now it's a 7 a.m. flight. Which sucks because I could have slept till 5 a.m., but that's a different story. So finally, crew gets there, boards us. We're on the plane, half hour de-icing, get out onto the runway, and they have to go back because they're having a maintenance issue. And the problem is they can't get their radio to work so they can call their maintenance hub in Dallas-Fort Worth and find out how to correct the maintenance issue. So back to the gate, and... They get connected to the gate, and then they finally get clearance. They fortunately were able to take off before they had to de-ice, and then I got to Chicago by about 10 o'clock. So I've already been on the road 6 hours so far. Waddle up to the gate. Obviously, I missed my flight, which had left like 2.5 hours earlier. And she hands me a ticket for a 2 o'clock flight. So now I have 4 hours to kill. So,
And your computer screen doesn't work.
My what?
And your computer screen doesn't work.
No, this was before the big black holes appeared.
I
couldn't get on a free internet. I don't think O'Hara has it. Most airports have a free internet. They have the Boingo hotspot that you can buy. And I'm like, I got two words for you, Boingo. But we're keeping this PG. So I ended up wandering about, and I wandered into a bookstore and ended up picking up two books. The first one I'll just mention because I haven't read it yet. It's the second part, Star Trek Next Generation, Cold Equations. Book two, Silent Weapons. If you recall me blabbing on and on about book one, they figured a way to bring Data back. And book two, I don't know what it's about, but I'll figure that out in the next couple weeks when I read it. I also picked up Kevin Smith's latest book, Tough Shit, Life Advice from a Fat, Lazy Slob Who Did Good. So,
and he's been talking about that a lot on his podcast. It's really the way he pushes it is, this is how I started smoking pot and got more productive.
Yep. And he also spends an inordinate amount of time being happy that he's a product of Don Smith's balls. People need to be regularly reminded that they began as cum. Not to diminish or cut them down to size, quite the contrary. I tell people they were cum once as a gesture of my awe at their very existence and to pat them on the back. Because you can't be a loser. You figure you're one of a million and you made it to the egg. You've already won. Nothing else you do in life matters. So by the time I got onto the plane, I had read 3/4 of the book because, as I said, the plane was supposed to take at 2. Apparently, they too were missing a crew member. And so they were waiting for another flight to land so that crew member could come across the airport and join this flight. I didn't get on the plane until 4 p.m. Finally arriving in New Orleans at 6, got to my hotel, checked in, got my orders, blah, blah, blah. 7:30, I was down. So that basically 4 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And then I had to get up by 1 so I could work my early morning shift. Is it any wonder I ended up on Bourbon Street?
I'm surprised you ever left.
I did finish the Kevin Smith book, which was a lot of fun if you like Kevin Smith. And then I picked up a book by, oh, wow, something beat the hell out of the cover here. My new book is gone. This one is by Anderson.
I think your computer got mad and is starting to take it out on other objects.
It could be. This one's from Anderson Cooper, Dispatches from the Edge, a memoir of war, disasters, and survival. Dude, I don't know if you want to bleep this, Corey, but this guy is really effed up.
Oh, God.
I mean, and he'll admit it, because you talk about the childhood he had, his dad dying, screaming, his brother's suicide, and just the shit he has seen reporting. I mean, pretty much, I think Kevin Smith's like the other end of the coin. Anything he does, Kevin Smith will say, doesn't matter. He's just happy he's been able to do films and do what he's doing, especially with the podcasting. But it doesn't matter. Cooper, something's with him. He goes to the edge, man. I mean, the first chapter deals with what he saw in going to see the tsunamis that hit Indonesia. The second chapter deals with the book, him going to Iraq. I haven't even gotten to him wandering around New Orleans yet. And that's why I picked this book up, because there's a big part of it about his coverage when Hurricane Katrina hit. This is one of those kick your life kicking you in the balls book, because, you know, even for what you and I do here, it doesn't matter. You want to read some serious shit, check out this book. Plus, it comes with a cool CD in the back.
Ooh.
All the exclusive extras you can actually see. But all I can say, if you ever find yourself away from, you're sitting across from Anderson Cooper and he's going to interview you, you don't give him any shit, because he's done way, way more than you ever will. You ain't going to bullshit him, boys and girls. So, I've got a couple chapters in that book. On the way home, I just, it was uneventful. You know, flights took off, landed. Just put the iPad in, or my little Nano, and just listen to music. Which, by the way, I'm my Nano is full. I can't believe it. I didn't think they got full. I just thought they were like clouds. They just continue to fill. You'll never guess the song that put it over the edge.
Gangnam Style.
Close. Zack Ryder's Hosky. I had to down. I have no interest in him singing, but I know for people who don't know, Zack Ryder is like a, I wouldn't even call him a mid-carder in WWE wrestling. He single-handedly promoted himself as the internet wrestling champion and got such a buzz following that finally WWE put him in a program to kill him, which is my take on it.
Yes. It was like, wow. We keep telling these guys they need to get themselves over. They need to figure out a way to get the crowd to connect with them. This guy did it. Ah, let's bury him.
Yep.
Let's have everybody beat him. He's the new Special Delivery Jones.
He had this deal.
Or Red Tyler. Or Scrap Iron Gdansky.
If you downloaded his Hosky song, he would follow you on Twitter. That was his.
No.
I have Twitter. I don't use it. I'm not that hip yet. Heck, my goal this year is to set up my web site, because I
think your goal this year is to set up your Friendster.
Oh, please, I don't want to go there. I just got Pinterest.
Then when you get that done, you'll finally finish your MySpace.
No, I visit MySpace occasionally. So
you're the one.
I loaded Hosky. I haven't listened to it yet. And I advise you to do it the same. Not because you necessarily need it, just because I think it's cool that we're going to promote Zack Ryder, even though WWE doesn't want it.
Well, if he follows my Twitter, because I'm on the fire-breathing Twitter machine, at Solitaire Rose. You can get my thoughts, my opinions, and find out when the podcast is being mixed or when it's up. Or this week, I actually asked people for some stories and such for a podcast that I will be recording tomorrow. Because Solitaire Rose Radio is about stories. So every so often, if you're following me on the fire-breathing Twitter machine, I'll be asking people for stories and you can contribute. I'd ask Joe to contribute, but he ignores me and goes down to New Orleans without inviting me. It won't take me to St. Charles Square or the aquarium or the IMAX theater.
The fall winter carnival, you would have seen the amazing ice sculpture of Spider-Man fighting the lizard.
I went and saw that.
Yeah, that is pretty good. That was pretty sweet.
Excuse me, I was having an emotional moment.
I'm looking at my pictures in New Orleans, especially all the crawfish I ate. Sorry, boys, I'm just higher on the food chain.
Tales from the Shop is one of our most popular features. And anymore, I just like to surprise Joe with what tale I want him to tell. Because he'll go, I think we're all done. I think we're out of stories.
Today
always stories about the shop.
There's one thing I took out of New Orleans that I wasn't expecting.
Crabs?
Oh. No, I didn't have any of the soft shell crabs. I should have had one. No, I caught a head cold. And yesterday, if we'd have done the podcast, I was actually an octave lower. Today, I'm just sniffing around uncontrolled substances. See?
You're snorting what's in the pixie sticks again, aren't you?
I'll never tell, unless you give me beads. Beads.
By the way, if we have any female listeners who want to send us pictures.
Well, I'll give you a bit. We'll send you beads.
We'll send you beads. I still have some beads from my trips to New Orleans.
I've been giving mine away, except for the long ones.
To women who are showing you things?
Well, let's just, the first couple, well, yeah, I gave one set to Chris.
There you go!
And the rest, I gave a couple to my daughter and her friends. And they didn't have to show before you ask.
Well, thank God, or the cops would be coming over.
I like cops.
Tales from the Shop. Joe, you have talked in the past about how after a while at the shop, stuff that before you owned a shop, you would have went, oh, this is so cool, I must have it. It just became product.
Yep.
Now, so I have two questions. First one is, do you remember a time when that happened, when somebody brought in something and you said, you know, 2 years ago, I would have wanted this, and now it's, I just want the money for it. Was there ever a moment where you just went, oh, yeah.
Are you talking like somebody bringing me something to sell or something they want to buy?
Either one. Whatever pops into your little...
Well, I talked a lot about, you know, the selling aspect. Like, Preacher got real hot. Sandman got real hot. Swamp Thing was another one, and I had those issues. When I was... pre-shop, if something got hot, I would buy it. I mean, I bought Night Nurse. If you remember, all of a sudden, out of the blue, Night Nurse went from, well, first of all, it was a four-issue, I don't know the origins of the book, that they did.
I do. Would you like me to step in?
You should, yeah.
Okay, Night Nurse, in the early 70s, Marvel was trying to, Marvel no longer had to worry about that they could only print so many books a month. And then when Stan Lee kind of stepped down and put Roy Thomas in charge, one of the things Roy was told to do was, you need to expand the line, and we want to start hitting different markets. Yes, we've got the superhero books, and they sell really well. But over at DC, they've got romance books, they've got horror books, they've got war books. We want you to... They had started to outsell DC. They said, we want you to dominate. And one of the things, they wanted to have female readership. So they did three books, and they really pushed them as these are written by female creators. Night Nurse, The Cat, and Shauna the She-Devil. Night Nurse, lasted 4 issues. That was the one that Martin Goodman, the publisher at Marvel, said that they really, that was the one he named. He said, I want to do a book called Night Nurse. Because at the time he was also publishing kind of scummy magazines and low rent paperbacks, and nurse romance paperbacks were selling like they were selling like hotcakes.
Hotcakes. You know, I did visit an IHOP down in New Orleans.
So they did Night Nurse, and it failed miserably, lasting 4 issues. I've read it, and it's a romance comic. And you do know that Night Nurse is now part of the Marvel Universe, right?
Breaking news. Baby found in the middle of a meteorite crash site in Russia. He's miraculously unharmed, wrapped in what seemed to be a red cape.
I think that whoever wrote that was reading the graphic novel Red Sun.
Yeah. Get them going, guys. They're going up on eBay. Which brings us back roundabout to what we were talking about. Night Nurse.
Hold on. Night Nurse is in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, she was dating Doctor Strange.
The cat became Tigra the Werewoman.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaun of the She-Devil is in the current Savage Wolverine by Frank Cho. So you could continue.
So what would happen is all of a sudden these books, which had basically been languished upon for years in the quarter bins, suddenly became hot. You're talking going from $25 to $100 a piece. I don't know what triggered it. It was probably Wizard. But I had to have them. And so I would find them. And usually I'd find them. And then, of course, when they peaked, I'd get to a point where, like, I'd sell them. I mean, I did it with Dark Shadows. Whatever the hot book of the month was. I remember picking up Razor Annual because it had a first appearance of She in it, you know, so I was real big on getting whatever the hot book of the month was. When I had the shop, it kind of went the other way because then I was more like, I want to sell it because they became a commodity. It wasn't so much, I mean, it's like, oh wow, this is so exciting. She number one, a $20 book. Yeah, last year I had 50 of them. Yeah, it's a rare book, all right. Hell, when we were moving our displays, we found a She that had fallen behind it. It was still in pretty good shape, so we just put a bag and board, $20, boom, gone the next day. You know, I think Evil Ernie did the same thing. You know, ooh, First Appearance of Lady Death, went up in price. So I think it was pretty much that. The other thing that did it was when my daughter was born. That pretty much got rid of my collecting mentality once and for all. You know, it used to be, oh, okay, I've got 25 issues of Spider-Man, and then it was about 10 that really sucked, and I keep going. I got to get them all, have to have them all. Since then, I'm kind of, you know what, I'm just going to pick up what I want to read. I don't necessarily feel bound like having to go back to pick up the other early stuff. Like, I think I picked up Green Lantern and I missed the first 20 issues, you know, before they did the new 52 thing.
Yeah.
And I never bothered picking them up. And the old days, I was going badass crazy trying to figure out where they were, how to get them. Who, you got number one for $20? I'll buy it. You know, even though it might go down in price. So I think those are the two things between my daughter being born and I just the shop, looking at commodity. Even after I sold the shop, I never got it back. I mean, I'd still look at things like, what was that, Spawn collection? The Capital City did a collection of the first 4 issues of Spawn.
Oh, yeah, you had tons of those at one point.
You know where I got them from? I got them from one of the Shinders. These were like $70, $80 books on eBay. This guy was down in Shinders was selling them for $15. I'd go down, buy one, go sell it, come back the next week, buy another one. I mean, I just kept buying them and selling them. And then eventually they just sold out. You know, I think we did that with the Wildcats Gold. The only book that of that era that never has gone back down in price has been the Platinum Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because that had been...
Because Wildcats Gold, that's my favorite Pat Gruber story.
Gold, good. think it was, you got one gold for every 100 Wildcats, one you bought for 300, which was an entire case, you got a signed Wildcats gold from Jim Lee. And I remember when we bought the shop, we actually found a case in back that they had left behind. And I think it was a case of X-Men 1 and Wildcats. And the Wildcats, we basically just put them on the shelf for cover price. But people are going nuts, especially on the X-Men book, because I forget it was a $10 or $20 book. That was X-Men 1 with Jim Lee, where you had...
It was a big fold-out
different
cover.
Covers, and we had, yeah, the fold-out cover one that had the entire thing. We just put, how much is that? $3.99, or whatever the cover price was. I'd have to go...
$3.99.
I'd have been $2.99. I don't remember. But
I do. It was $3.99 because everybody was, well, it's $3.99. That means it's an extra size issue. No, it's just got the special cover.
Yeah.
No. It's got to have, you know, oh, no, it's just the special cover.
The ad that was in the foldout. Even now, I don't have the collecting mentality. I mean, there's certain things I'd like to buy, you know, like the run of Spider-Man. My Spider-Man started at 178, went forward through the entire mediocre run that was the 200s. And I still enjoyed the stories just because that was kind of like my 12-year-old fun. I got them in an essential book, which is fine. Lately, I've been looking at like some of the Justice League stories, like when Zatanna joined and she had that funky leather outfit instead of the fishnets and a ponytail, and you know, and that was,
yeah, I didn't much like her then. She needs the fishnets and the top hat and the tuxedo top.
And for me, that was cool because that was, I knew who she was. It's amazing for the amount that I read that I understood who these characters were, mostly because of reruns. Like we talked about Marvel Age, they do the big super size where it'd be like one new story and a bunch of Golden Age reprints. Even things like Dynamite Magazine, you know, you read they'd have a little 3-4 page thing where they do 2 pages of the origin story and then one of question and answers, real exciting things going on. So it was just amazing. I don't think readers nowadays get that appreciation of the history on the comics. And sometimes they do. I mean, obviously, if you listen to the podcast, you must like older comics because we rant on and on about them. But now,
or they just like listening to us babble on for 90 minutes.
Now I'm old.
Or they might have downloaded it by mistake.
I realize I could retire in about 10 years. I want to move into a smaller shop. And I know a lot of these comics I have, if I'm ever going to read them again, if I don't have some reason to hang on to it, I just get rid of it. And you can't, it's not like you used to be able to bring them to a comic store. Hey, I got a box of comics. Oh, I'll give you $10 credit. Hey, they don't want them now either, you know? That was a one-day thing. Whenever I had comics I didn't want, I could bring them down to St. Paul Comic, and he'd look at it and, I'll give you $5. And I'd usually toss something in there that I knew he'd probably make 20 off of, but I just didn't want them. And when I get my website set up, you guys will see what I don't want, and I'll let you buy them. And you even mention it's on the podcast, I'll ship it for free.
Now, my follow-up question. Oh. Even though you looked at the stuff as product, let's say after you moved into the big store, was there anything that somebody brought in or something you got from Diamond where you got that old collector tingle when you went, oh, so cool, must have?
Nope.
God.
Yep. I'm just thinking, you know, and this is one of those things where I may come back at you with something as I dig through my, to borrow a term from Tony Isabella, my vast accumulation of stuff. I don't think I have anything that I kept. I know Tim from Granite City up in St. Cloud, he liked the variant covers, the gold books, and he kept the, you know, that he would get them. I'd be like, dude, I sold mine for $50. You know, I want the $50. Granted, they're probably not worth $50 now, but that's a different story. You know, I don't think there was ever anything. A lot of times even I'd go to like the Diamond shows, or even when we went down to San Diego for the one con, I'd be looking around thinking in terms of, okay, what am I going to do with this? I'd like to sell it. Or can I sell it to somebody? So, you know, most of the time, occasionally you'd run across something that, oh, I know someone who would really like this. But most of the time, yeah, I was just buy it and sell it, you know. Didn't care.
Huh.
Even after.
See, for me?
I never have anything.
When I was working at Schindler's, it got to a point where it was, you know, this is just product. Except, you know, I liked reading the stuff. And as I would be marking up the back issues for the quarter, bin, which I can't, I feel horrible for how many hundreds and hundreds of comics I ruined by putting 25-cent stickers on them. Thanks, Schindler's. And I would go through that and, you know, okay, here's a bunch of stuff that I don't have that I want to read that everybody calls cheese. But there were a couple books that when they came in, I just, the little tickle at the back of your neck where you go, ooh, gotta have it. And the first one was Weird Fantasy number 12. That was the first of the EC science fiction books. And, you know, I had a beat up old Tales from the Crypt that a friend had given me where the cover's half rough and the pages are brown and brittle. But this was, yeah, Weird Fantasy number 12, and it was in really nice shape for $90. And I didn't even put it up on the wall. I just waited till the vice president, you know, the touring vice president came in, and I said, all right, do I get any discount on this at all? And he looked at it, and he started to, well, I don't know, and hemming and hawing. And the thing that I found funniest about it was he said, well, I think that this was priced incorrectly because I think $90 is way too low for this. But it had the seal on it that the main comic pricer downtown had done it. And he said, okay, I could give you 20% off. I would have bought it at full price, but had to buy it. I still have it. And the other one was Creepy number 1.
Mm.
And back then, nobody gave a good goddamn about Creepy. And it came in, and I just, you know, the little light went on, and it was, I think, only $10. And it was a very fine, you know, in very fine shape. But we put it up on the wall, and it was there for like a month and a half, and nobody even expressed any interest in it at all, so I just bought it. And I was amazed that nobody came in and went, you've got Creepy number 1, oh my God. Collectibles, I'm like you, I'm not really into the collectible aspect as much. There are new books that when they come out, I get really geeked about them. And we'll use that to jump into freaking and geeking. So, Joe, you've already talked a little about freaking. Any other freakings you got?
Let's see. New Orleans, cold. Nope. I think I'm good with freaking. It's hard to, I have to apologize a little bit just because my brain's like, I got 3 brain cells working because although I sound fine, the cold is really, it gives you waves of just tiredness, you know, it hits you, and Corey droning on and on just puts me to sleep.
Well, you know what you should do with the cold then? You should do what I plan to do with my next Christmas party.
What's that?
Well, you've got DayQuil and NyQuil. Go out, buy you some DayQuil, buy you some NyQuil.
Woo!
Now you're saying, what does that have to do with a Christmas party, right?
Yeah.
It's red and green! Use it for mixing your Christmas cocktails. Make your party a lot more fun.
I would.
And the crickets, they still like it. By the way, I've listened to the return of R.D. Reynolds and Blade Braxton, the guys from WrestleCrap Radio. They now do the R.D. and Blade show.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the crickets.
Aha. Uh-huh. See, so we do
See,
have the
crickets. The crickets have defected to us.
Good.
And I've listened to their first 3 episodes. The second episode, the last half of the second episode, was R.D. Reynolds going in and ordering a pizza on his way home from work.
That's entertainment.
So, there you go. Millions of people could not wait for that. Freaking. They've canceled a whole bunch more, the 52 books.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
And some of them, I think, like Sword of Sorcery, hasn't even been around for 6 months. So in a lot of ways, I think the DC 52 bump is all but gone. And they're changing creative teams constantly on the books. They're bringing in new creators on some of the books. But the other freaking I have, and maybe we'll discuss it a little, Geoff Johns has announced he is leaving Green Lantern. And they will be doing a complete creative reshuffle on Green Lantern.
That'll be when I leave.
I'm going to wait and see who they name. But he was on Green Lantern for about 9 years. It doesn't seem that long, does it, Joe?
No. Corey, I have a dilemma question here for you.
Uh-oh.
My daughter just right now handed me a book. Handed me a thing. It's seventh grade choice book permission form. She wants to pick the book The Hunger Games. Now, being that she's, how old are you now? She's 13. Do I say no and give her Battle Royale, or should I just wait till she's 18?
I would hold off on the Battle Royale.
Okay. I will sign this so she reads The Hunger Games. When you're 18, honey, come talk to me and I'll give you the real version. By the way, she was holding a guinea pig in her hand, so that's okay, dilemma over.
And Joe, do you remember Green Lantern before Geoff Johns took over?
I wasn't reading it.
Nobody was.
Yeah.
They had spent 10 years telling us, well, there's no way to bring back Hal Jordan, and he's a boring character, and there aren't any stories you could do with Hal Jordan, and we got rid of the Guardians because there's no stories you can do with the Guardians anymore, and the whole idea of a Green Lantern Corps is stupid. And then Geoff Johns comes in, brings it all back, and it's one of their best-selling books.
Yeah.
But I think everybody forgets how vehemently DC went. No, Hal Jordan's a bad character, and he's never, ever, 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 ever coming back, ever, ever, for any reason, ever. And now he's back, and he's the one DC character other than Batman and Superman that's got a movie.
Yep.
Doesn't mean it's a good movie, but still. So what I hope is that they don't go back to, Green Lantern's not selling well. Well, we're going to have to get rid of the Guardians and get rid of the Corps and get rid of all this stuff because they're stupid. Geeking. What you geeking on, Joe? What are you excited about?
Let's see.
What are you reading and loving?
I did pick up the Star Wars. This is again, a testament to what we were talking about. I picked up Star Wars number one that you recommended.
Yes.
I picked up the second print, and I'm not going apeshit because I didn't get the first print. I used to be that way, you know, before the comic store, where I would go crazy wanting the first print. And I agree, it's fun. I mean, as long as they don't keep doing the creepy, you know, because at this point, Leia and Luke didn't know their brother sister, so maybe they'll creep us out a little later.
Kind of like they did in, what was that book, Splinter of the Mind's Eye, where they actually made out?
Well, that, and there was a really funny YouTube video where the Disney princesses were welcoming Princess Leia in, and they're talking about how weird they were. And she said, I kissed my brother once. We're not that weird, dear. It's a musical, so it's worth hunting down. I'm just looking mostly at the last batch of comics I read. I mean, Superior Spider-Man, I'm absolutely enjoying.
Same here.
I picked up Fearless Defenders 1. Maybe. We'll see. I did read Phantom Stranger 5. I haven't read 1 through 4 yet. I just wanted to see if it was worth reading, and I actually enjoyed it. I did pick up one that I probably won't ever pick up again. Legend of the Shadow Clan. It's by Aspen, and it's only a buck, though. The reason I picked it up because it has an exclusive source cover. I like those things, Source Comics and Games. The other thing I'm geeking on is from Argentina, I got a Supergirl bottle cap. She's on the inside of Pindy Soda, which is made by Coca-Cola. This is from like 1978, one of my eBay things that I bought. And of course, the last thing I'm geeking on, it's crack time. Girl Scout cookie time. And I got Thin Mints. Seriously, folks, if you don't got a little hustler in your neighborhood, my daughter's selling Girl Scout cookies. Send me an email. She's trying to get 2,000 boxes, but she decided that on a whim, and it's not happening. But if you need someone to ship you some Girl Scout cookies, we'll take care of you. And, of course, my favorite, Thin Mints, Tagalongs. I'm going to try to do what I've been doing every year. I'm going to buy a case of Thin Mints, put them in the freezer, and then in July when they're out of season, try selling them on eBay. But every time I try this, somebody, my wife, breaks into the box and eats a box of Thin Mints. So if you want...
You might have to wrap them in, wrap them in brown paper and put something gross on it, like, you know, deer kidneys.
Deer kidneys. The only other thing I got is, again, down in Mardi Gras, because I just like rubbing it in Corey's face. From the shop that was going out of business, Mardi Gras in New Orleans, Volume 2. And it's got a lot of songs, but the one that caught my attention, That's Mardi Gras by Jake the Snake.
Oh, wow.
And if I could have gotten this to you, I would have had you open the show with it. So I'll have to crack that open and listen to it. But that seems to be, you know, most...
See, if I would have known you were going to New Orleans again, there are a couple of things I would have had you get me.
When?
Well, first I would have sent you to the Café du Monde and had you pick up a box of the beignet mix.
Oh, and you know, I could have brought some back. That same store I talked about where I got the coffee, they had a lot of...
Oh, yeah, they have that all over the place. But the Café du Monde is this wonderful... every time I've gone, it's an outdoor cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the chicory coffee, and they have these beignets, and the beignets are just heavenly.
Oh, they're so good. I had some, and, you know, what was great is that when I finished them, I still had like a pound of powdered sugar in the
beignets. Yes. And then they have all these hot sauce shops. And I would have had you pick me up like two or three of the ultra, ultra, ultra scary, like frighteningly hot sauces. Not because I would use them, but because my sister collects them.
Oh.
And her and I went down last time I went, and I swear to God, she spent more time in the hot sauce shops than I spent in the 3-story used bookstore that I found.
You know, that was something. I remember years ago, just those hot sauces are just funny. And I almost started doing that, just collecting them. And I thought, you know what? I'm collecting so much other crap. I don't need it. And I'm glad I never jumped onto that. But it was.
There was one where she had me taste it. It just barely part of a drop on my tongue. And it was the most. Let me put it this way. If you were to do that to someone and then tell me where the bomb is, they would tell you where every bomb they've ever heard of in their life is. And a little secret for the listeners, if you have some hot sauce and it's too hot, don't drink water.
Mm-mm.
Water doesn't help. You drink milk, because what's so hot is an oil. And milk will dissolve oil, whereas water, well, you probably dropped oil in water. Just kind of floats around on top.
And spreads other parts of your body. You never think your teeth would hurt.
So what I'm geeking on, I actually, I'm on Netflix. I'm getting the DVDs because they gave me a month of free DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And I may keep getting the DVDs because I'm just going through. I'm watching really obscure spaghetti westerns and old movies and some foreign films and a lot of documentaries. But my favorite movie day, I watched the original Django, which is a spaghetti western with Franco Nero from 1968. Then 3 hours later, went to the movie theater and saw Django Unchained, the new Quentin Tarantino movie. And nothing makes me happier than going to see a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes, and to me it felt like it was about a 30-minute movie. Mm-hmm. And so many little nods to the original Django, including Franco Nero is in Django Unchained. Has a wonderful little cameo in a scene with Jamie Foxx, who plays Django. So I am tearing through movies on my overnights. Joe, I even watched 1776, the musical.
Mm. Oh, have you ever seen it? Never to the left. I've seen the play, but I've never, you know, like in college and stuff.
Yeah. The movie is okay. Knowing what I know about history, I know where it made lots of mistakes. The character of John Adams, way wrong. John Adams was not like that in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, historical mistakes and problems. But the movie itself really felt like it was made in the 30s instead of the 70s. That very arch, actorly style, where you kept expecting when the camera turned off, everybody involved went, "That's acting!" But if you guys have suggestions for odd little classics or documentaries or stuff, yeah, go ahead, send them to me on my fire-breathing Twitter machine. Comic-wise, I just reread Mage Volumes 1 and 2.
Ooh.
And Mage 1, still probably my favorite comic ever. But on a reread of Mage 2 years later, I liked a lot more. Because I remember at the time I was a bit disappointed in it. It's not what I wanted. And while I still think one of the problems with the series is that Matt Wagner threw in way too many characters without really giving us a decent introduction to them, the story itself worked very, very, very well. And I enjoyed it much more, and it made me very hungry for Mage 3. So I'm pretty sure those books are still out there and available as trade paperbacks and hardcovers. I also read the early 2000s run of New Mutants, New X-Men, Academy X, and Young X-Men. And the first third of it, I was really geeking on. It was the kind of story that I like where it's okay, we're going to introduce a bunch of new teenage superheroes. You're going to come to Xavier's. They're going to be taught how to use their powers, and we'll deal with their interpersonal connections and all that stuff, like the early issues in the New Mutants. Then after House of M, they got a new creative team who decided the only way to tell a story was to kill people off, to the point where they killed off like 30 characters in their first issue. And reading it just became a slog. It's, why should I keep reading this? Because any character I like or get invested in, they're going to kill them. And I actually gave up toward the end of New X-Men, and I still have not made it through Young X-Men, which was the continuation. And it's kind of why I feel about Avengers Academy. Ugh, another thing, we're going to have all these new characters and kill them. So that's kind of a geeking and a freaking. Marvel Now, all new X-Men, I'm still loving. Still loving all new X-Men.
Yep.
And I like the direction they're going with it. I like where one of the, you know, five originals is going to be joining Cyclops soon. Because now I'm going,
I saw that.
Would they do it? And for the first time, I would say, since Grant Morrison, I'm really excited about the X-Men franchise. X-Men Legacy is unreadable, but the other X-Men books I really enjoy and I really like. And the last thing I am geeking on is Jonathan Hickman's Avengers. Yep. Are you?
I'll give you a geek on that one too.
Yeah. It's Jonathan Hickman, who did the Fantastic Four. He's a different sort of storyteller than most Marvel creators, in that he comes in and you can tell he has a very big plan, and he's going to give you a little bit of it at a time. But you could tell it's building towards something. Like his Fantastic Four run kept building and building and building. So his Avengers, actually when you open up, you'll see there's a design on the recap page that tells you what characters are going to be in the story, as well as who they're connected to. And we're going to find out more about their connections as the story goes on. I was a little worried when Bendis was leaving the Avengers, but I'm really liking the Avengers line as well. So I think overall the Marvel Now sort of reboot has been a good thing.
I think the only one that I'm kind of losing a little bit interest on is the Fantastic Four. And it might just be because I was so wowed by Hickman that the poor schlub who had to follow Alan Moore, you know, it's like,
yeah.
I'm going to give it a few more, give it a try.
Well, out of the two FF, out of the two Fantastic Four books, I really like FF because I'm a huge fan of Allred's art style. I know that some fans don't like it, but to me, it really looks like early 60s Marvel, kind of that Kirby Ditko style of art. And I like the characters that Matt Fraction's chosen. So I'm liking where that's going. The Fantastic Four, I'm with you. I don't know if it's that the story hasn't grabbed me, or that the story that came before it was just so good that my expectations are too high. Speaking of high expectations, Joe?
Don't have any.
Oh, I bet you do. Did you get to see the Star Trek trailer during the Super Bowl?
No.
Oh.
I must go Google it.
Yep. After watching that trailer and seeing some of the stuff that they, I'm not a person who goes to the movie theater all that much anymore, because I've got, you know, cable and Netflix, and I've even signed up where Redbox will send me a coupon for a free movie every week.
I'll let that one run through. Everybody dance. Do I want the 9-minute trailer or the Super Bowl trailer?
The Super Bowl trailer. We may have to go to the Star Trek for the midnight show the night it opens. I may have to take that day off and go.
Oh, here it is. Darkness Super Bowl. It's only 34 seconds?
Yep. That's enough.
All right. Let's see.
Well, don't listen to it on the air. That bores the people.
Well, that's okay. They can go do it themselves. And what I love with YouTube is you always have like a 9-second commercial beforehand. Bastards.
So, Joe, what's coming up over the next couple of weeks? We going to be able to do a show next week?
I'm sorry, I missed. What were you saying? I was watching the trailer.
Are we going to be able to do a show next week?
I think so. I don't have any plans to go anywhere. Technically, okay. I'm still possibly could be sent away up through March, but it doesn't look like there's anything coming.
Well, then we're going to get back on schedule.
Just in time for our 100th episode.
Just in time for the 100th episode.
And of course, the sad part, one of the regrets I have is that I won't have the reports from the different comic stores as I travel, which is fine, Because now I can start digging into my vast accumulation of stuff. Because when we first started this podcast, we were talking more about, you know, there's podcasts that talk about new stuff all the time. Let's talk about older stuff. I think we've done a pretty good mix of both.
Yeah. Well, to kind of draw back the curtain a little bit, I was listening to the Daily Rios where he talked about, it was on podcasting, where he talked about his philosophy of podcasting. And one of the things he said is, you know, well, first he said, don't treat it like radio. And I'm glad that you and I didn't listen to that because we both, you know, did college radio. So we came into it as radio.
Yeah, yeah.
He said also, your first episode should only be about 10 to 15 minutes. And I still remember you and I talking and you going, I don't even think we're going to be able to get a half hour out of this thing. And then within a month, we were doing 90 minute episodes.
Yeah. We're trying to keep it easy.
But the thing he said that really struck me was have a unique kind of a twist, a topic that you're going to do that nobody else does. And he said for Comic Geek Speak, it was Stump the Rios. And I think for us, it's the fact that we've worked in comic book retail and on conventions forever and ever and ever and ever. So we've got all these stories about what it's like working in a comic shop, especially after I watch Comic Book Men.
Mm-hmm.
And people think that that's how it is in a comic shop. You know, no, it really isn't. Now, the part where they're sitting around breaking each other's balls.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Happens. But every time I watch an episode and people are bringing in, you know, these high dollar, high quality comics and stuff, it's like, we never had that come in our shop.
And that was even before eBay. You know,
yeah.
eBay really didn't start till what, 97?
Yeah.
And, you know, now if you got something big, you're better off just doing it on eBay. If you got something really big, go to the friggin' auction houses.
Yeah.
There's still occasionally things pop up. I know, like, Mr. Ketter over at Dreamhaven, who's a damn fine, handsome man.
He's a damn handsome man.
He keeps running it. He says he's trying to sell off as much as he can, but he's got these people that keep bringing in, you know, gold and silver age stuff, and he knows he can sell it, so he picks it up. Because every time I'm there, there's less and less new stuff, but there's more and more comic-wise. There's more and more really cool silver age and stuff.
You know what I find interesting about stores like Dreamhaven and Uncle Hugo's and Once Upon a Murder? You know, you go into Half Price Book and Magazine, and they're getting to the point where it's getting harder and harder and harder to find anything weird and quirky and fun.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, you know, okay, here's the latest bestsellers, and here's the books that everybody's got, and they get more and more remaindered stuff, I notice, too.
Yeah.
Stuff that, okay, it didn't sell in the store, so we're going to dump it on Half Price Book and Magazine. They could sell it for $3-4 each.
You watch Chris Jericho's hardcover book. It's $6 now at Barnes & Noble.
Oh. If you don't have those, Joe, you ought to read them. They're really good.
I read it when it first came out.
Okay. But when you go to Uncle Hugo's, I don't know if you've been there lately. Their used book section, you will find stuff that you could not possibly have known existed. Or I think the last time I went to Dreamhaven was his big closing party. And he had just brought up a bunch of boxes from the basement of used books. And there were like these wonderful science fiction magazines and anthologies from the 50s of long forgotten stories from authors that, you know, you might have heard of maybe. And I know that that stuff doesn't do real well online either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting harder and harder to go, well, like in New Orleans, there was that 3-story used bookstore where you could just go to a used bookstore and just kind of dig and look and, okay, what sort of weird, odd things am I going to find?
It's probably a good thing I didn't find that. I barely got my luggage underweight the way it is.
Oh, well, when I went, you know, I drove down to New Orleans And I think I went to that used bookstore twice, because the first time I went through, it's okay, I'm just going to get the stuff. And then the last day, it's, you know what, I still have some time. I want to go see if they still have those things up in the – and you go back, and if they're there, you buy them. And if they're not, well, okay.
Curse yourself. You broke the first rule of collecting. Never leave it behind.
There's one book that I bought down there that I still read every so often. Joe, do you know who Michael O'Donohue is?
Mm-mm.
He was also known on Saturday Night Live as Mr. Mike. Michael O'Donohue was the lead editor on National Lampoon, and then he got hired to be the head writer on Saturday Night Live, no matter what Chevy Chase says. Because Chevy Chase is now saying, oh, I was the head writer on Saturday Night Live, and I wasn't even supposed to be a performer. Nope, if you look at the early episodes, head writer Michael O'Donohue. He wrote an underground comic in the 60s, The Adventures of Phoebe Zeitgeist. And in the, 68, 69, it was actually published in a hardcover book. And the only reason I know that is because I found it at that bookstore in New Orleans. And it's all the stuff that Michael O'Donohue later became known for on National Lampoon. There's jokes about Nazis and tons of jokes about death and violent imagery that is juxtaposed with sex in order to get that laugh. I am so glad I bought it, because I can't even find the damn thing on eBay. And, you know, being a huge Michael O'Donohue fan, I have a book of his that I doubt anybody else has anymore.
That's awesome.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for about an hour and 20 minutes. Even with Joe having a cold.
Yeah, and if you could just stop sending Facebook game invites, that would be great.
I've never sent I don't play any games on Facebook.
No, I only got one I play, and I pretty much ignore the rest.
You know what game I play? I play whatever's in my Xbox 360, and right now it is Star Ocean, yet another of my Japanese role-playing games. Kind of like Final Fantasy, except longer. Either that or I'll play Halo. I like killing aliens.
Maybe only Duke Nukem was better.
I should do that. But you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and 20 minutes. Even though Joe's narcotic up.
Yeah, it's hitting me.
And abandoned me.
Sleep's good.
Okay. So, as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Will you sing Soft Kitty to me?
No.
Night, night.
I'll play your music, though.
Soft Kitty.
Somebody call Joe's mama.
Buck is on a roll.